Hey everyone, Joey Santos here with Jason Morris, and we're going to go to session two of SALT Conference talking about engagement, online church engagement. So last session we talked about building the online church, building your online campus, talk about vision and infrastructure, but now you got people in your church. You created your church, you established your church, your online church. What engagement looks like right now? Jason, I like to learn from you on this. We have tons of conversations week after week, and it's kind of funny. The last time we talked, I think we were like 2 hours just doing Zoom calls and talking. But I really do. I think, you're at this a lot longer than I have been an online church. And engagement is this critical. We talked last session about humanizing the technology, and we wanted people to have a connection. But now how we engage them? How do we get there? So I'm going to throw this right back at you. So let's get it started here. What engagement looks like?
Well, first off, before we even have a conversation about engagement, I feel like we need to define it, because the big talk right now with, COVID and online, what do you measure and all like that? Everybody's saying, measure engagement, don't measure attendance. And then it's like, okay, great. What's engagement?
I told you guys. He knows this stuff.
So, okay, first off, I think you got to define what engagement is for you, first off. I pretty much look at it from my perspective a little bit like the way that Jesus, when he spoke after the Sermon on the Mount, which was a 15-minute message, by the way. Mm-hmm. When he spoke about the Sermon on the Mount, when he got done, he said, "He who comes to me, hears the words of my teaching, and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock." And I think what Jesus was describing was what we understand today as a marketing plan. So there were a lot of people that came and were around just because Jesus gave them free bread, and they had a free miracle show every minute, right? And they just wanted to watch the show, right?
Yep.
But that doesn't mean they were necessarily listening, right? So that's why Jesus says all the time when he's teaching, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Because there was a bunch of people just messing around and they weren't even listening to what he was saying, right? Yep. "He who comes to me, hears the words of my teaching, and puts them into practice is like a man who built his house on the rock." He's talking about an engagement funnel. So it's like, all right, we're talking about obedience to what you hear. So the way that I look at it is that online, you have ways of measuring engagement that are actually more precise than you do on site. But there are things that online doesn't measure as well that you do on site. For example, online, you can measure attendance very well, but you can't measure attendance. I mean, on site, you can measure attendance very well. It's easy. You have the little clicker, but you can't measure attention very well. Mm-hmm. You don't know if they're really listening to you or not. I mean, you hear people talk about, people raising their hands, they're really engaged. When you're talking about they're really engaged. People were with me when you're talking about the communicator. It's like, yeah, everybody was with me. They were really tuning in. It's like, okay, but it's fuzzy. We have no clue as to what is really going on as it relates to people's attention. Were they actually listening? And you could just ask them 2 or 3 days later, or even at the end of the service. I've had people come up to me and say, "Oh, I so appreciate your message." I was like, "Great. What did Jesus tell you? What stuck out to you?" And they like look at me like, "It's been a whole 5 minutes, right?"
I know.
They were emotionally impacted by something, but they have no handles with which to obey. I have failed, right? And so when we're talking about on-site ministry, online is really no different, except that it measures things a little bit better. So online, you can't really, it's fuzzy, the attendance metric. The attention metric, however, with time, that is engagement.
Because
here's why. If they're not into your content, they're on to something else. And so that is wonderful, I think, for us to be able to be really honest about how many people are actually really listening to us, right? Mm-hmm. That's what Jesus was talking about. "You comes to me, hears the words of my teaching, and puts them into practice. That's the obedience piece. The obedience piece, for me, that's a big point of engagement that can work across all of your environments. Doesn't matter if you're on Facebook, YouTube, on-site, online, doesn't matter. How many people actually took a step of obedience to your particular call to action in your content? That right there, that's engagement, like engagement, like engagement is.
Yeah.
And then if they put it into practice, if they start creating habits around it, where it becomes a part of their life, man, that's the gold standard with which you can build on. That's the foundation that you can really build on. So what you want then, when you're talking about engagement, for me, engagement is time listening, it's attention, and it's obedience. So what that looks like for me is anytime anybody interacts with the content that lets me know that they're really listening, that could be a like, it could be a comment in the chat, or particularly, and this is the big one for me, anyone who shares content. So that for me is like, okay, you got micro evangelism going on. That tells you two things. One, it tells you that your content is good enough that they feel like they can share it, because if it really isn't all that great, they're not going to share it. And two, you're dealing with someone who has a vision beyond themselves. They're thinking about somebody else.
Yes.
That is gold right there.
Yeah. And it's kind of interesting. Sorry. It's kind of interesting to make this point, because it takes me back to how we measure. We're going to talk about measurement here next, guys. But listen to this. I think to prove a point what he's saying, we look at our Easter numbers, and you know, Easter was like this explosion of people publishing numbers, right? There's thousands and thousands and thousands. But I like this, going to Facebook Studio to look at numbers, in-depth numbers, and realizing that 20% of my audience, regardless what number that was, 20% of my audience on Facebook was the result of a share. And let me ask you this, when is the last time in your physical campus you had 20% of a guest for the first time and as a result of that share? I mean, that is the power of it. Like that's where you can show effectively that obedience happens, and that's something you can actually count. You can actually consider as
this is engagement.
Right. And that's something that on-site doesn't count as well. Right. Mm-hmm. You don't know how many people are talking about your church out and about in the neighborhood. You really don't. But online, somebody hits that share button, you know exactly what they're doing.
So
and if they're not hitting the share button, that tells you one of two things too. Either your content's not as good as you think it is, or you've got a bunch of people that aren't thinking, they're only thinking about themselves.
And they're not
thinking about others.
Yeah.
And those, I don't know which it is. It could be, or it could be both, right? But those things need to be addressed when you're talking about engagement.
So that's good, because that I think in terms of common knowledge of what engagement is in the online culture, let's go put it this way, online church culture, I think is great, because we just redefine with more precision what engagement really is. And guys, that's extremely important, because those are the things that you'll be able to actually go to the next session here and learn about metrics. But that's the thing that I think we all got to pay attention to. And I think, so step number one, you got to redefine what engagement is. And I think we have defined for a long time now online, in not in a very precise way. But now we have a much more precise way to look at it. So as you process this information, you start thinking about what are the elements of obedience that you're calling people into through your online church. Because that obedience is what you want to have as a confirmation that people are actually engaging. So Jason, in your opinion, tell me about what do you see in the practical level. You already start to describe that, but how do we actually lead people watching from watching to engagement on those levels that you just described?
Okay, well, there's a lot of little things that you can do that compound on each other, that creates an environment that inspires people to be a part of a family rather than just passively watching content. Because again, we're talking about church here. We're not talking about content as much. You can use content in your church But don't confuse the two. Don't conflate the two. So when we're talking about relationship, it implies that there's a back and forth. There's a conversation. Mm-hmm. In fact, there probably needs to be more conversation, more back and forth in a church service than what we're accustomed to with our on-site stuff. Most of the time on site, we're used to having a very elect few people do the conversation and the rest mm-hmm. of us watch it happen. And online, it tends to be just another digital expression of that experience when it doesn't have to be. One of the things I love about online ministry is that you can minister to people right where they are, right in the moment. Mm-hmm. So if they're in the chat and they say, hey, pray for me, you know, I've got surgery tomorrow, whatever it happens to be, right? Engagement mm-hmm. and encouraging that is they took a step and they got vulnerable enough to even share that in the chat. We have a saying with our volunteer team. It's like, we have the last word. We never, ever allow anyone to interact with us without a response. We always have the last word. And what that means is if somebody publicly asks for prayer, then we will honor that and pray for them publicly right then. We're mm-hmm. never going to say, hey, I'll pray for you, like we always do, and then never do. You know, that drives me crazy, right?
Yes.
Why in the world would I lie to somebody, right? That just drives me nuts. So what I do to avoid that is I pray with them right then, always. That keeps me sane, so I'd never have to keep remembering stuff. So it's like, all right, if they ask for prayer in public, we're going to pray for them right then. So what I do intentionally, and our volunteer team has training around this, so that they know, okay, this is our time. All of our prayer ninjas, they've been praying for all of the people that have been interacting in the chat, waiting for this moment. And they'll say something like, okay, everybody, so-and-so just asked, you know, Judy just asked for prayer. We are all going to pray for her right now. Join in as God leads. And then that person starts the prayer right there in the chat or in the comments. And mm-hmm. they put a suffix on it, dot, dot, dot. So they're like, dear Heavenly Father, dot, dot, dot. So they don't put the whole prayer all at once because no one knows if anybody's responding. If you put this whole diatribe in there, you know, it just, then it feels like to the person who just gave the prayer request that nobody's listening. It's just crickets. Even though you're like going to town, you're like writing War and Peace out there. they don't know that, right? And they're like, nobody's here.
Exactly.
Fail. Then you.
That is a great point, man. That is a fantastic point. I like that a lot. You can keep going. I just think that that's so important. People don't write a whole dissertation as a prayer, even though you may be so inspired, but hit the enter button once in a while.
So what I do is I just say, dear Heavenly Father, dot, 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 one short sentence, you know, one phrase, dot, 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 lets everybody know there's more coming, but it also mm-hmm. gives space for everyone else to join in too. And so what happens is when somebody tells and broadcasts to the public in the public chat or comments, pray for me, that's not just for the pastor. That's not mm-hmm. just for the prayer ninja. That's for the whole community to pray for them. So now we have other people that are joining in and saying, yes, Father, we're right now lifting Judy up before you, dot, dot, dot. Everybody's doing this, right? And so now Judy, she feels like she's being prayed for, not just by one person who's the pastor who's supposed to do it, but she's being prayed for by everybody. She's got 15 people. We call it dogpile prayer, where everybody's just like, boom, 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 boom. They're just like praying, and I'm keeping it super short for that reason. And when I continue the thought, I'll prefix it, dot, 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 and then I'll do whatever, blah, 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 and then I'll finish it, dot, dot, dot. And then at the very, very end of my prayer, when I feel like I'm done, while everybody else is just like dogpiling in, I'll say, in Jesus' name and without the same authority that we have as your children, dot, dot, dot. And everybody knows what that means in our culture. Everybody's just like, amen, 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 amen. Boom, 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 like this. And that person feels loved in ways that is really hard to replicate on site. You know, somebody who in the moment is feeling like that's what I need from this message. I don't know if you've ever felt this way, but sometimes when I'm sitting on site listening to a message, and it's almost as if the Holy Spirit is like, boom, he just puts a screwdriver in my soul. And he says, this is what you need right now. And I'm done. I still got to sit there so I don't embarrass myself, but I'm done. You know, what Jesus wanted to do in that moment, I'm good. And I'm just thinking about that for the rest of the week. Just that one little thing.
Yes.
The rest of the week, right? Now, imagine we have people that do that in part of our culture in our online campus. When they have a moment like that, they express it. They're like, this is like, this guy's reading my mail. The Holy Spirit just showed this to me. Pray for me about this, right? So we're not talking about praying for your surgery of your grandma's dog. We're talking about stuff of where God is speaking to them on topic.
Yes.
Right then, and we can minister to them right then. You can't do that on site. Nobody stands up in the middle of the message and says, "You're right. Can somebody pray for me about that?" You can't do that, right? But you can online. This is what online engagement is about. This is when you actually begin to care for people.
And a little technical
tip I want to give everybody. I use this here sometimes when it has a high volume of conversation going through the chat. I actually enable dictation on my computer, and I have a headset on. So I actually, instead of typing, I can actually speak just like we do with our mobile devices. And I can actually just have, yes, so I use that. So I use dictation. So I can actually just speak the prayer and the prayer just show up on the text. And it's a great, I'm telling you, it's a lot faster than typing for, at least for me. But it expedite that. So just like a little pause here, like imagine there's a balloon here with a little technical tip on how to do the prayer, because I thought what you said there was just incredible, because now you're not only being the online pastor or the online host or the volunteer praying, but you're engaging the entire chat room in that prayer moment and everybody praying for that person. Guys, if you listen to this, this is just golden when it comes to engagement. That's how you get people now to engage with you in terms like, I want a prayer, or this is so good, I want to share this. This, and now you're leading people to obedience. You're leading people to obedience, even just praying for each other. So that's a very, very powerful thing. So I just to wrap this up, Jason, we talk about, you know, defining engagement and taking steps towards engagement. I know the end goal can look different from church to church. So just for as a reference, like for me, the end goal in my ministry as an online pastor is to drive people from online to offline. That's what we say. I want people to engage online so they can go offline and live out what they learn. Tell me a bit about the end goal
for you, though.
The end goal for us is similar, but basically it's to become a community of Westside wherever you have to be. So when you say go online to offline, the first thing that pops up in my mind is offline where? Mm-hmm. So if you're talking about offline, meaning the brick and mortar where the broadcast is coming from, mm-hmm. that's different than saying offline with your family that you're living with right now, or in your neighborhood right now, or in your network right now of relationships. If you're going on online to offline in those environments, I think your discipleship pathway is slightly different, and your engagement pathway is slightly different. For us, what our job is not to get you into a big box brick and mortar worship service. That's really not our goal. Our goal is to make disciples who make disciples who make disciples, mm-hmm. period. And so for us, it is to wrap God's family around your family and to raise Christ-centered families in our city and beyond. So wherever you happen to be, that's why we call it Westside Anywhere, wherever you mm-hmm. happen to be, we want to empower you with the tools that can transform not just your life, but the lives of people around you, and to empower you to such a degree that you gain a vision for what Jesus wants to do in the relationship mm-hmm. that he has divinely placed you in, because none of that is by accident.
That's great. So guys, this is it. Engagement. So you learned today about how to define what online engagement really should look like or needs to look like. And that's a great way for you to start having those conversations. And also what those touching points of obedience is going to be. What, that's when you figure that out and start engaging people and then start measuring this. And I cannot wait, because we're going to jump in the next session talking about discipleship, because that's the next level. That's how you take people there. So thanks so much for listening. Thanks, Jason, for allowing me to be part of this with you here. We can do this together. And we'll be back for the next session here. Thanks, everyone.